our next guest has done a bunch. From a sports reporter in Seattle, Spokane, Bend, Oregon. He's a Western Washington University grad, now based in Vegas in Sin City. You hear him right here on You Better You Bet on Twitter. Use the handle at Femi Ubevafe. Femi, great having you. How's life in Vegas treating you these days?
Steve, it's been great in Las Vegas. You know, I've been out here for a few years. You know, obviously, you mentioned it, October being a great time of the year as a bettor. A lot of stuff to get to. We get the NBA coming up next week. I'm sure you guys have a lot of Blazers fans out there in the Eugene area. So I can't wait for it. Like, you know, we have NFL, NBA, NHL's going on. Major League Baseball playoffs are heating up. Looks like we're going to get the TV executives' dream World Series, Yankees, Mets, or Yankees, Dodgers. It's a really fun time to be betting on sports. So it's great. No complaints over here. And, yeah, we're ready to rock and roll.
So as a first-time guest, I always try and paint the picture, a little personal background. Just for example, I'm old. I'm from outside New York. I'm from outside New York City. I started loving sports when Namath was quarterback. The Knicks were winning titles. So your story, where do you hail from? And maybe who are the teams and players that got you so into sports that you decided, I'm going to pursue this as a career?
Yeah, so I was born just outside of Dallas, and then my family moved up to the Pacific Northwest, just north of Seattle, when I was a toddler, about 3 years old. But because I was born outside of Dallas, my dad, my brother, my uncles, all Dallas Cowboys fans. So unfortunately, I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. I've been infected with that virus, and that is the team that I root for. And I'd say for my other teams, college, like, another one, I'm sure your listeners out there are probably going to mock this, but I do root for the University of Washington sports and football and basketball since I grew up about 25 minutes away from campus. So I'm a Washington Husky fan. I know the Ducks right now in a much better position than the Huskies are in the Big Ten, as we're the new debutantes in that conference. But those are the teams that I root for. And I guess my background, a little bit how I got into betting and how I got into sports, was just like, you know, like hanging around Sunday afternoons with my family, like all watching the Cowboys game. And like, just as a curious kid, I'm wondering, hey, what's everybody watching? And then, you know, I started to fall in love with it, and I got hooked, and I've been hooked ever since I was like 5 years old. So it's been a long time. I love sports. I played them obviously in high school and stuff. And then ever since then, I've always known that I was going to do something in sports, whether it was like in media or maybe public relations or whatever. Now it's media and betting. I knew sports was going to be my path. So it's a really good career that I've had so far, and hopefully it gets even better going forward.
No, listening to you on air, the joy, the passion, it's awesome. So I made a promise not to inundate you with New York sports because you have to deal with Costos. That's bad enough. But I got to get a Yankees thought in. Honestly, when the playoffs started, I was like, had the bullpen come around enough with Weaver as closer, would teams find a way around Soto and Judge? So what was your thought on their shot when the, you know, the wild card round started? Are you at all surprised that they've landed here, 2 wins from the World Series?
I am a little bit surprised, to be honest. Like, you know, like the Yankees are a team that I've watched quite a bit of Yankee games this season. Not that I'm a fan of the team. Like, I have no rooting interest towards the New York Yankees. I had Aaron Judge to win AL MVP from, like, back in May, so I've kind of been watching each at-bat, and I've watched a lot of Yankee games along the way. And just watching the team, I didn't think that they really had the makeup of a team that would make a deep run in October. You know, like the starting pitching, it's been a little bit hit or miss. I know early in the season they had Luis Gil pitching it really well. That's since kind of come back down to earth. Gerrit Cole, it feels like he has one really good start, then one like so-so kind of a start. And that's actually happened in this postseason as well, since he only made 4 1/3 last night prior to his really strong outing in Kansas City to shut down the ALDS. And I just felt that a team like, actually the team that they just beat in Kansas City, that was a team that I thought could make like a surprise run in the American League, because the Royals pitching is outstanding. Unfortunately for the Royals, the bats got cold at the absolute worst time. They had a really rough stretch in September where they weren't hitting. That carried over into October, and they never were able to generate enough offense against the Yankees, and the Yankees were able to outlast them. So I thought it was going to be a team like the Royals or the Astros that ended up representing the American League and winning the AL pennant. But here we are with the New York Yankees now just two wins away from going back to the World Series since 2009. I think they get it done rather quickly. I don't know, Steve, your thoughts on the games that we've seen so far, games one and two in the ALCS. At no point have I ever thought that the Cleveland Guardians were going to win either game. Maybe that changes when we go to Cleveland starting tomorrow. But so far, from what I've seen, the Yankees are clearly the better team, and they should advance to the World Series.
Yeah, I'm skeptical. I know you work with the ultimate skeptic, but
pessimistic Yankee fan.
I can pass this on to you, Femi. My dad texts me. He's going to turn 89 during Giant games, Knick games, Yankee games. In the middle of the fifth, when they pulled Cole, he texts me, "I'm no longer speaking to Garrett Cole." So I thought on today's show, you brought up something that unbelievable. So Fox signs Tom Brady to a $375 million contract to be an analyst. And now that he's part owner of the Raiders, in essence, he can't go to practice, be critical of teams, interview coaches and players. How the hell could he do this job? I mean, is this out there or what?
It's insane to me. And I don't know if Fox, I'm sure they were caught off guard by this. I don't know if they had information or were privy to Tom Brady's aspirations to be a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm guessing they had some kind of inclination. Maybe they didn't know the full extent of what you wanted to be involved with an NFL team. But if you're Fox, here's your lead analyst who's going to be calling the Super Bowl coming up later on this upcoming February, and now he pretty much has to be the most like milquetoast, bland analyst out there to make sure that he meets the requirements of an owner in the National Football League. Like, it makes zero sense whatsoever. Like, if you can't criticize officiating, can't criticize teams, and just like the bare bones kind of, requirements of the job is going to the practice, being able to speak to players and coaches in the production meetings. He can't do any of that out of fear that he would like share trade secrets with the Las Vegas Raiders. Like, it's insane that this is the situation. I don't know how he's going to do the job well. It feels like it's just going to be kind of like a generic broadcast, and I'm sure like he's going to try to prep as much as possible. He'll know the teams from studying the tape, but I still think that as an analyst, as a color commentator, the job and like the ones that do it well are the ones that are able to give us something that we don't know or something that we might not think of that they get from the team, whether it's the players or the coaches. So it's unfortunate that they're not going to let him do those types of things. I understand why. It's just for Fox. I don't know how you kind of pay all the money that you have to Tom Brady, and then you're sitting there with an analyst that's going to be pretty generic in comparison to the rest of his contemporaries.
So did they just put a camera on him and he just shakes his head no, nods his head yes, gives a thumbs up or thumbs down? It is. It's crazy. Continue.
It's ridiculous.
We're talking with Femi Obefefe of You Better You Bet, heard right here noon till 2. So you talked about betting young. I started betting in like elementary school. Now the thing is with you guys who are so focused on the action, people who come up to you and talk to you, how often have you had to caution folks, look, never let your heart, soul, or fandom guide your betting?
Oh, all the time. And it's one of the reasons why, like my wife, like she doesn't bet on sports, but like, she knows what I do for a living, and she knows what kind of, like, I've been betting on sports for quite some time, and I always tell her, oh, you should get into it. And she says, no, because I wouldn't be able to remove my emotion. I'm like, wow, that's a really good, very good self-awareness there, because I think a lot of folks struggle with that. Like, you know, it's like you think that, oh, I really know this team, or I really know this, or I really want to root for this team, so I'm going to bet on that. And you really do have to kind of like remove your emotions. And the team that you're rooting for is your bankroll. It's your wallet. That's what you're rooting for above all else. And then go and move accordingly. So it's really difficult early on as a fan because we all watch sports. Everyone who's listening to this right now, they watch sports. They probably think that they know everything inside and out because they read up on stuff. They follow it. They watch it. But it's just not the same. And when you start thinking about the numbers and the betting, especially with like football, college football, it can be really tricky. So I always encourage people, like, try to remove your emotions as much as possible. And also don't wager an amount of money that you're not comfortable losing. That's like the biggest thing, like bankroll management, and make sure you're betting responsibly, because you don't want to be put in an uncomfortable position because you thought a game would go one way and it goes another way. So I definitely like removing emotion has to be like kind of like number two after wagering responsibly is removing emotion when you're betting on games.
Yeah, a quick story. The first time we visited Vegas, it was 1969, and there was the old dunes on the old strip, and so I'm 8 years old, and we're coming up the escalator, and I had never seen a casino, and my dad saw my eyes get really big, and he put his arm around me and said, "They don't build these on winners." So
your dad's a very smart man.
So last week I heard you talking about Oregon and Ohio State. You mentioned I think your feelings about Duck football are pretty apparent. but putting that aside, like you said, when you provide proper analysis, what are your thoughts of this particular group of Ducks after that Ohio State game? And is it possible they could end that decades-long mission of getting that natty?
I think it's definitely possible. And Oregon has always been seen as one of the teams in the early portion of like the off season, whether it's dating back to like April, May, like after spring ball kind of wrapped up. Oregon, at least from people who bet on sports or people that like kind of do what I do, we've all seen Oregon as like one of like the three teams that can win the national title. Like I think a lot of folks going in, and it's probably changed a little bit now that we're 7 weeks into the season, but a lot of folks felt that it was Oregon, Ohio State, and Georgia were like your three teams that were like one of those three was going to win it all. Now I'm sure Texas has entered the chat with how they've played so far. We're going to get to see Texas and Georgia play on Saturday, which will be a really fun game. But Oregon's been they're a really, really talented team. My only hang-up on the Ducks was that I didn't know if I could trust Dan Lanning in a big spot in a big game because he hadn't really proven it. I mean, like as a Husky fan, I've seen Kalen DeBoer and the Washington Huskies beat Dan Lanning's team three times. And I'm sure that's going to change this year. I'm sure Oregon's going to beat Washington this season. But like I've seen it when it's like, all right, another team has similar talent level. What happens? And I thought last Saturday was a big time win for Dan Lanning. We all have seen the press conference about the 12th man on the field or whatever to go ahead and like kind of like jerry-rig the rules a little bit. But that's smart. Like, that's what you should do as a head coach. You should be trying to win within the margins. And in the game where they're going up against a team like Ohio State that has similar talent to them, they did win it within the margin. So the sky is the limit for the Oregon Ducks this season. I think they're going to continue to get better because it started off a little bit shaky, the Idaho game, the Boise State game. Those were a little bit shaky for Oregon, close calls. But I think we're going to start to see them ascend as we get into the second half of the season. And they'll be right there in the end. We'll probably be talking about them in early January when the semifinals said, hey, can Oregon ultimately knock down the door and win the national title? They're that good of a team. And Dan Lanning, young in his coaching career, is starting to show that he can handle those big moments as he did it this past Saturday.
Couple final thoughts for Femi Abefefe. You and Nick talked about this marquee matchup that you just alluded to, the ABC National game, Georgia at Texas. We know the Horns are number one, just demolished OU in the Red River Shootout. Bulldogs with the Alabama loss, but a tougher schedule. You guys talked about it. What do you make of UT as a 5-point pick as far as maybe your lean here?
Yeah, this is surprising to me because Texas, they've looked really, really good, but I also don't think that they've played an offense that is capable of challenging them yet. Like, if you look at the Texas schedule, they played Colorado State, they played whatever Michigan's doing at quarterback with Davis Warren and Alex Orji. We've seen that for a few weeks now. Like, that's not a good situation. They played UTSA, UL Monroe, Mississippi State, and then they played Oklahoma, whose quarterback is young and looks like he's kind of like a chicken with his head cut off. The offense has not been good that Texas have faced. And in comes Georgia, to which, yeah, I'm not the biggest Carson Beck fan, but Carson Beck is at least a very competent and good college football quarterback. And Georgia's offense is really good. Like, they can run the football. They have decent playmakers as well on the outside. I think this is going to be a step up in class for the Texas Longhorns in terms of the opposition, to where I think Georgia is going to cover that number. Like, it's out to 5 right now. I haven't bet it yet. I'm going to wait to see if I can get as good a number as possible. Will it go to 6 or like 5.5 or 6? Because it was at 3.5. I didn't think it was going to go much. And then we woke up today and it was 5. Maybe it keeps going up as people keep betting Texas. But I hope everyone keeps betting Texas, because I'm going to be on the Georgia side just waiting to pull the trigger. Not a matter of if, just a matter of when I place the bet on the Georgia Bulldogs. I think it's going to be a really competitive game. Feels like it's a field goal game either way. I could see Georgia winning. I could see Texas winning. But I just have a really, really strong feeling that this is going to be a closer game than what the betting market thinks. So I like the Georgia Bulldogs. Kirby Smart, he hasn't lost a non-Alabama team in like 5-6 years. Like, it's ridiculous what Kirby Smart's done at Georgia. I think that his team will be motivated to win the SEC. And if they want to do that, they have to win this game on Saturday.
And I want to finish with an MLB game you guys talked about coming up soon. The Dodgers are in Queens for the Mets. Walker Buehler against the Luis Severino. You know, Buehler came back from Tommy John, hurt his hip. He was actually bad this season, got lit up by the Padres. Yep. Severino, his two starts. It's almost a pick 'em, LA minus 115. You have a preference in this one?
Yeah, I like the New York Mets in the game. I think they grabbed control of this series. You know, like Walker Buehler, like if we're having this conversation in 2020, 2021, sure. Yeah, I could back Walker Buehler as a road favorite in a hostile environment. But it's 2024, and you mentioned it, Steve. Walker Buehler has not been good this season. And typically how you pitch in the regular season is how you usually pitch in the postseason. Like, baseball is kind of a funny sport that way. Like, you don't just go all the way back to when you were a stud a few years ago and then do that in the postseason. It's usually what you did in the regular season is a preview of what's going to happen in October. And for Buehler, it's been bad. And this Mets lineup is strong. They have something. They got the juice. Like, they're a really confident team. I think the Mets win this game to grab control of the series. I also like Pete Alonso to hit a home run out there. Like, folks want to bet people to hit a home run. I think Pete Alonso to hit a home run is a really interesting bet. He has really good history against Walker Buehler. But I think the Mets win the series, and it starts tonight when they grab a 2-1 lead at home in Citi Field.
Yeah, it's amazing how Alonso's rep kind of altered on the spot with that homer against the Brewers, and now all of a sudden he's Mr. Clutch. Well, we'll see if my dad is talking with Luis Severino after this game. Folks, he's a Femi Ubebefe. You hear him on this very station before I take over the airwaves. Follow all he's up to. You can link it from his Twitter account. Check out @FemiUbebefe. Hey, I know how busy you are. I appreciate your time. It's great having you. Fun stuff. You be well. And best of luck with your bets. And I look forward to talking again down the road.
Hey, really appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
All right, take it easy.